Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I think we should talk about a bit about sporting traditions today.
What do you think? Yeah. Which sporting tradition would you like to talk about?
Well, Phil, I'll be very interested with all the controversy surrounding the proposed concept of a twilight or a night AFL grand final, what your thoughts are.
Well, I'm a little bit a traditionalist.
A little bit. What's that mean?
A fair bit. I won a day grand final.
You won a day grand final.
But on the other hand, I've got to admit, Rick, my most enjoyable games I go to watch at the Adelaide Oval, which I joined a member last year, are the twilight stroke night games.
So what are you trying to tell me? You want a dollar
each way? I can't make up my mind.
But you want a daytime grand final.
I don't know why. I can't really answer why, but I think I do.
Well, I want to just propose this to you. I want to throw a question
out. You're going to propose to me?
No, don't get carried away. I want to throw this out to you, all right? If we take the 2018 AFL season, last year's season,
yep,
and just because we want to be local, if we take into account the games that the Adelaide Crows played and Port Adelaide played, that's a total of 22 games each, 44 for the year, right?
Yep.
Now, Phil, come on, let's play games. Out of the 22 games that the Crows played, how many day games do you reckon they played?
I would say the Crows would have played three or four. Yep.
Well, you're not really in the ballpark.
Well, I've got to be close.
Played one only day game out of 22.
Let's look at
your mighty Port Adelaide.
Well, I went to half of their games.
Yes.
There was a lot of twilights, but I would say three or four again.
Well.
Day games. Yep.
Well, you're about half right. They actually played six day games.
How about six?
Adelaide, of their 22 games, how many night games do you reckon they played?
So that's starting at seven. So they would have played... So they played only one day game. They would have played half of that at night games.
10, you reckon?
Yep, roughly.
They played 15 night
15.
Games.
15? Yep. Wow.
And we'll let you off the hook for a minute. Port played five night games.
Okay.
Now, Port played 11 twilight games, so that's half their season. And if you tack on the other five night games, they've played 16 out of 22, which aren't day games.
Yep.
And the Crows played 15 night games, six twilight, so that's 21 out of 22. So my argument is, I know it's traditional that we've had a grand final during the day, but and I can only project, I didn't bother to do the stats for all the other clubs, but and I've just taken Port and Adelaide as a random sample, but they're not playing day football now at all, virtually.
No, and you know, part of it, I think, Rick, is the viewing, like television viewing.
Oh.
It's so popular. Friday night, I know I've got a mate that he only looked at the program last night and said, oh, I want to pick out the Friday night game. What Friday night game? Because that's his tradition. He loves sitting down, whether it's having a beer or coffee or whatever, and sitting down watching the footy on a Friday night. Yeah.
Well, you know? Of course, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, because it doesn't matter whether we're talking marbles, tennis, football, cricket,
it's
whatever.
It's all about the viewing.
It's all about the viewing. The money's all controlled. I mean, in the good old days, say when I was playing cricket or we were kids watching SANFL football, basically players got paid nothing.
Mm.
And so there wasn't television viewing. And now the whole thing, I mean, we talked last week about the ridiculous salaries that the officials get.
Yep.
And it's all about revenue. And I mean, just to sum it up, because I just think it is interesting, and I think that probably some of our listeners might be shocked by those statistics. But if you look at the total 44 games that the Crows and Port played last season, right, 20 of the 44 were played at night, which is 45.5%. 17 of them were played as twilight games, which is 38.63%, and 7 of them were played as day games, 15.9%. So if you look at other than day games, of the 44 games, 85% of them were played as either twilight or night games. So, you know,
I think that probably answers your question. It probably should be a twilight or a night grand final.
Well, the thing,
it probably should go back to the players. Do they prefer playing at night? Is there a difference playing at night? I didn't play much night footy because we never had the lights. Weren't good enough to play night games. I did play night games, but
did they have electricity when you were playing?
But the lights were shocking.
I thought you had gas lanterns.
They were shocking, the lights. You couldn't even see. I played some of my best games in a forward pocket in that dark.
Because they couldn't find you.
I was a star.
Well, you know, I've always been brought up, I suppose it's my background in PE and sport, but I've always been brought up with the concept that you should try and train as you're going to play. Now, if the ultimate's playing in a grand final and they move it to twilight or night, surely you play most of your games during twilight or night. Now, they're already doing that.
Mm.
But it is interesting that you, I mean, and I'm not having a go at you at all, but it's interesting that if you, evidently all the surveys say that everyone still wants a daytime grand final, and you couldn't really answer why, and probably nor can anyone else, except that's the way it's always been.
That's the way it's always been. Let's not change it. But when you look at those stats, perhaps it should be. Interesting fact, I did look at the AFL program. You find that the first 5 or 6 weeks, there is a Thursday night game and a Friday night and a Saturday. The first 5 or 6 weeks is a Thursday game. They said that huge viewing on Thursday nights.
And, we've already mentioned it. It's all to do with money.
Yeah,
and
exactly, right.
And surprisingly enough, and it's just sheer coincidence again, but I think towards the end of this season, I think is when the auction comes up for the next television deals.
Mm.
And, of course, the AFL can get more money if they say, hey, we've got this X million number of viewers watching twilight or night.
Yeah.
And I think, rightly or wrongly, it's inevitable that it's going to move to one of the, twilight or night.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, you could, you know, whether you like it or not, basically all other sport has too. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're looking at the English Soccer League. I mean, sure, they play some day games, but the majority aren't played during the day. They're played at night. You know, your Australian Open tennis is played at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, and, you know, as though it's not my bag, but, you know, most of your T20 and, and it's moved tonight as well.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, while you're on...
Something, just quickly, something else that had come into would be preparation for the players.
Mm.
They'd have that whole day to think about, you know, you just want to get out there and play. You know, let's say it's a 2-10 game or whatever it is. You just want to hit that deck and get out there. They'd have the whole day. Then, you know, let's say it's starting at 7 o'clock at night and half the night waiting to get out there.
I mean, that's true.
How do you prepare?
Well,
the preparation would be so much different.
Well, it would be, but in actual fact, other than the fact that it's called a grand final, they're doing that already, aren't they?
Yeah. But nervous energy for a grand final would be through the roof.
That would be. That is
you played in big cricket games. I played in big footy games. Well, not as big as AFL, but...
in that forward pocket in the...
Oh, yeah, in the night game. Oh, I played a ripper. I kicked 8 that night.
Oh, yeah,
don't know that.
In your dream. Now, while we're sticking traditional, let's get with your umpiring concepts.
Well,
what about these other moves that the AFL's introduced?
Well, now,
Interchange. What's going on?
You can't send the run out. You can only send him out at certain times. They've gone to, I don't think you realise this, Rick, but they've gone to a board with a number on it. So you're number 6. Well, they've got the guy standing there with number 6. Well, the players aren't obviously used to it yet or whatever. So it's taking half a quarter for some of these guys to come off because they haven't, because it's not just at a stoppage. They can
anytime. So what is that designed? Is there also a reduction in interchange numbers, or is it just?
I think it has. You know, let's say it was 180 or something. It's probably, you know, they've have knocked it back.
Okay.
But I must admit, the thing I do agree with is They went to two runners there. Yeah. We had so many people on the field, it was ridiculous. Well, back to the one runner, but he's only allowed out certain times, and I can't, at this stage, I can't even tell you the exact times, but right. It's for not interchanging players. They've got to hold the board up and yep. bring them off yep. like that.
Yeah, what about this other thing about the kick-in from the behind, after a behind?
Well, they might as well get rid of the square, the 10-metre square.
Explain that to me, why.
You don't have to kick to yourself. You used to have to kick to yourself in the square and then run out.
Yep, but
and
you can now. Play on. So you can run from the 10-metre square out. And straight bounce out. And you could yep. run the whole
straight,
way
run
if you
straight
could.
Straight out and away you go.
Well, that's going to
make... opens the game up, but why do you need the square? And you said to me, because the guy's got to be off the mark.
Yeah.
Well, in the Barossa League, we had each club, we introduced it when I was coaching. They put a line, 20, like it'd be 20 metres out, and they put just a little line, and that's where the full forward knows he's got to stand the mark.
Oh, okay? Right, okay, right.
Probably haven't even noticed it. There's just a little line, and each club just puts that line there, and then you know that, you're right on the mark. Otherwise, it is hard to judge, because you're backed out to centre-half back, as an umpire, and, Fred's on the mark, but he's only 3 metres off that line. It's a bit hard to tell when you're back there.
Yeah.
So we had them put a little line in there. That solved that problem.
I tell you what, it is going to be interesting because I think, amongst many other ugly things that have come into AFL, I think the back defence zoning from behind kick-ins where they actually don't achieve any distance forward, they kick it sideways into a pocket.
That's gone.
That might go forever.
That's virtually gone. You're finding the ball's virtually in the centre before you know it because they're kicking out. And let's say they're running out 20 metres or whatever. They boom that big drop punt or whatever, the punt kick into the and it's right into the centre. Bang. Oh. Virtually almost two kicks and you're down the other end.
Well, now, it's good to have you as an expert here.
Oh, I'm no expert.
Now, tell me
what about
this 666 bit?
Don't mind it.
Right.
Don't mind it. It stopped the flooding back and the ugly football. There's no doubt about that because at the start of the quarter, it's 6-6-6.
Well, you can't, from what I understand, for the start of each quarter and a centre bounce or throw up,
correct.
You can't play any men behind the ball.
No loose man. No. It's cut the loose man out. Yeah. There's no loose man. I gather you can, during the quarter, you can drop that guy back because there's no initial ball up. But,
so gee whiz, it would seem to me, and I realise that you've watched a fair bit of this preseason,
I have
unfortunately not been able to, but it would seem that that it's the significance of winning the ball out, the centre clearance, is going to be even more significant than
absolutely.
It's ever been.
Because it's one-on-one, basically, when you hit that. Yeah. Oh, it can be two-on-two, but you haven't got... three on two. It's an even match. Once you get that ball into your forward line, away you go,
Well, it's really going to be interesting these first, half dozen rounds to see what each club, because I guess they've all been doing their spade work, but secretly, how they're planning on the changes.
We've got enough umpires. It'd be hard in the Barossa probably because you only got the two umpires. So you've only got the... One's in the centre throwing the ball up, so he can't really, he can't worry about what's on the left of him. The guy on the right can count that in, but where you got the three umpires, you need that three umpires.
Yeah.
That's the problem they'd come into
in
if it came into the local league.
They probably won't introduce
I wouldn't think they would. But then there's another one, though, Rick, and this one I don't like. It's the 50-metre 50-metre rule,
which I don't like.
I don't like. They've cut it out in the Barossa League. It's 25 metres is maximum, which is great. That's a big enough penalty. Well, virtually I saw on the weekend was 200 metres. So what's happening is, let's say it's you, Rick. You've got the free kick. I'm standing the mark. And what they're trying to stop is me arguing with the umpire, that wasn't 50, and holding up the play.
Right.
So the guy who's got the free kick is running off, and he's virtually running into that player that's on the mark, and they're both running back together at the sort of similar pace.
To get to the 50-metre.
But if you're not to get out the way, she's 100 metres. So he'll blow his whistle. Right, you're in the way because you can play on now from a 50-metre penalty where you couldn't.
Right.
You always had to mark the mark.
The umpire had to mark it.
Yep, you could not play on. Now you can play on. which has brought this 100-metre rule in, which I do not like. 100 is far too, 50 is too much.
Well, I haven't even seen it in action, but I can tell you right now, that is going, teams are going to lose 4 points because 100 metres is giving a goal away.
Well, the only thing the umpire didn't do was kick the ball for the guy.
I heard he had a Collingwood uniform on.
Yeah,
the
and he wasn't a good kick. But no, I don't like it at all. Yeah, sure, the player can try and hold that player up, but no, I don't like it.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Getting back to our initial start of the conversation where we were concerned about traditions and daytime or nighttime football. I mean, I can't think of another sport in the world on this earth's surface that changes its rules more than... Well, the funny thing with AFL is not only do they change the rules every season, they sometimes change the rules halfway through a season.
I know. Just to trial it.
Yeah.
Let's throw four umpires in. Yeah. That doesn't work.
And so I think we've got to face the reality that they're more concerned about money. It's you could drop the name football and call it entertainment, and so be it.
And these guys that are on 1 point something million, they've got to be seen to be doing something. Otherwise, they won't have a job the next day, will they? Enough of that. Now, let's have a quick look at the cricket.
Yes.
Aussies, 2 love down. 1-3-2.
And got up 3-2. Well,
pretty good effort in India.
Very good effort. And the interesting thing is that the bloke who could not make a run until the last test here, Khawaja, has made...
Drop him.
But again, there's a big difference between playing 50 over or games and test cricket. And he is a very good player. We all know that. And we couldn't quite understand why he did so badly in the series here. It may well have been mental pressure because of his brother being in trouble. Who knows? But he's won the series for us over there. And I noticed that he did get the Guernsey as man of the series. Good turnaround.
Yeah, it was.
It's a pity the Redbacks couldn't turn around, isn't it?
Well, they've turned around. They haven't turned nothing around, have they? Couple small scores, wasn't it, to finish the second last game of the year?
Absolutely. Well, second go. The interesting thing is that it's a weird thing that happened. When they came back from the break and they started using the Duke's ball, in the first round, and I think I mentioned it, everyone made runs. But my theory, and now no one's making runs, not only the South Australians. I mean, South Australia just made less than Queensland made, and they didn't make many.
Was it a funny pitch?
No. No, nothing wrong with the pitch.
Okay.
And the same thing's happened in the New South Wales-Victoria game. They made next to nothing, but the Vics made a few more, even though they've won outright, but they lost. They were down on a few runs with low scores again. Now, my theory is, and that's all it is that after the first game, the bowlers learned how to use the Duke ball properly. And because of, in general terms, Australian cricketers with very, very poor techniques as far as footwork goes, they struggle against any ball that's moving sideways, and that's what's resulting in so many low scores. Anyway,
let me quickly put it to you, do you like the Duke's ball?
Oh, I think the Duke's ball should be played. I think the Kookaburra's down and gone.
Yep.
Because it's obviously a better ball. When they're playing Kookaburra, there is a huge advantage to the batsman, because after the first, you know, dozen overs, 20 overs, it's like a straight die, it won't do anything. Makes a bit more sporting, and if it makes batting a bit more difficult, so be it. Guess what? The batsmen have to learn to be able to play it.
I'll tell you what, Rick, what we'll do in the next couple of weeks, we'll get our expert ball man, Chris Harms.
He'd have a view.
And ask him how his balls are going.
He'd have a view.
Boom, boom.
Now, listen, I've got a joke for you.
Have you?
Yeah. This is a pretty amazing thing, I reckon, and it only goes to show how astute the industry is. Do you know that coaching is considered to be such a precarious of all positions that leading insurance companies now accept 10 years in coaching as proof of permanent brain damage?
Look, we've got to finish up, but I have got one little rumour.
Yes, what's that?
Heard a local cricket rumour.
Yeah, what?
Kapunda and Yadunda to possibly amalgamate. Kapunda, I believe, you probably know better than me, half a dozen or more 40-year-old A-grade cricketers, which they're dropping down to the next division, Division 1.
Being relegated.
Relegated to 01 reserve. Sorry, it is. So there's a, it could be a chance that Yeadunda and Kapunda and Robertstown, yeah, I guess it is, yeah, and will amalgamate.
Well, Phil, I hadn't heard that until I heard it from you, and so I would consider that to be a very reliable source. And the only thing I can do to support that concept is that I had heard a few weeks ago from Kapunda people that they were so worried because of their existence, because their top players are all old,
yep,
and they've got no juniors evidently coming through. Yep. So rather than disappear altogether, I know no one likes to amalgamate, no, but it's better than disappearing off the face of the earth.
Identity, yeah, don't you, when yeah, you amalgamate? Yeah. But I don't think that it's all done and dusted, but it's certainly something in the wind that it could happen. Yeah. So
that's a first for our listeners.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've run over time, we've got pretty. We've had a pretty interesting discussion.
Show today, Rick.
So until next time, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.